service for Good Friday, April the 3rd, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men, and to suffer death on the cross. Through the same Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. An Old Testament reading now from Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a shoot out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. This is the word of the Lord. A sermon now entitled, Laying Our Sins on Jesus. Lying about something does not change the reality of how something really is. Deception is just a game of fooling people. To deny the truth and to go on as if what is false is not, is to live a delusion. What is true? Well, here's the truth. All people are sinners. To sin is to miss the mark of God's holy standards. And we know these exist because not only were they written on stone tablets and given by God to Moses, but they are also written upon our hearts. Yes, people have a sense of morality of what's right and what's wrong. Whenever we go against our conscience, we prove the fact that we are sinners. Now, here it's not uncommon to find those who will push back, stating that although they may not be perfect, they certainly do not consider themselves sinners. They find that offensive, especially if you qualify sinner as being both poor and miserable. They might protest that they are not poor and they are not miserable, and they certainly aren't sinners. They look at you as though you are a problem for suggesting the contrary. Scripture speaks about what people are doing when they push back and protest this diagnosis. It teaches that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It says that if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Therefore, it's self-deception. It's to perpetuate a lie. It doesn't change reality. It's to be delusional. However, one can understand why there would be a pushback. After all, though it is true, it's not like we can do anything about it. Though some may try, Scripture is clear that there's nothing we can do to change this reality. Besides, the more one goes against his conscience, the more it gets seared. The more seared it is, the easier it is to live with oneself when he sins. A person gets to the point where he or she really doesn't care. Friends, you could deal with the reality of sin by denying it. Most people are. But I'm here to tell you that there is a much better way. The way I am here speaking to you about is the way of Jesus. He himself stated, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus is God the Father's only begotten Son, whom he sent into the world to fulfill a mission. He would reverse what Adam and Eve let happen by dealing with humanity's sin as only the sinless Son of God could. What Jesus came to do had been predicted centuries prior by the prophet Isaiah. He spoke of how Jesus, the Lord's servant, would find himself in the situation where he was despised and rejected by men. He would be caused to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He would be despised, and we esteemed him not. This suffering of his culminated upon Good Friday, when Pilate had Jesus flogged, beaten, abused, and crucified. Isaiah had spoken of this, that he was esteemed stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. By oppression and judgment he was taken away to be crucified. And now here's why Isaiah says this injustice was allowed to happen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. It says that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, it was for our sins that Jesus was crucified. Isaiah explains how all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's another way of saying that we are the sinners. However, because of God's deep love for us, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of God's people. What did Jesus accomplish when he died? Well, it is here that there are insights from the book of Hebrews. The author speaks of how we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. There Jesus entered into the holy places by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. It speaks of how he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is where his shed blood pleads for our pardon. Therefore, all who trust in Jesus as their Savior from sin receive remission of their sins. Jesus once said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The prophecy from Isaiah had spoken about how, after Jesus died, they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. And this is exactly how it happened, that even though Jesus died a slave's death, he received a rich man's burial. This is thanks to Joseph of Arimathea, who interred Jesus' body in his own new tomb. But this tomb wasn't required for very long. This is because upon Easter, Jesus rose again. This shows that Jesus was successful in atoning for the sins of the world. Death no longer has to have its hold upon sinners. This is why Jesus said that all who believe in him receive forgiveness of sins and will, in the end, attain to the resurrection after they die. Therefore, I suppose, if nothing could be done about our sins, and one could then make the case for denying their existence and living in the delusion that there is no such thing as sin, and so therefore they are not sinners. Should that be the case, then why not lie to yourself and sear your conscience, arriving at the point where your sins no longer bother you? However, there does exist a much better option and alternative. The scriptures make clear that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, receive grace, pardon, and the remission of your sins, free from their wages, that you might have eternal life. The hymn we will soon sing sums up this better option when it comes to our sins. It goes, I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains with His blood most precious, till not a spot remains. Yes, join me yet again today through faith in the crucified Christ who rose from the dead, and laying your sins on Jesus. He is the spotless Lamb of God who bore them for us upon Calvary's cross. By His sacrifice our sins are washed away, and not a spot remains to condemn us. St. Peter loosely quotes Isaiah, pointing out that Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Yes, don't deny your sins nor your sinful condition. Instead, confess your sins and trust in what Christ did for you upon the cross. Truly, lay your sins on Jesus, for He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His stripes we are healed.